Okay, this coming week we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayishlach. And the Parsha begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Yaakov Avinu sent messengers to Esav, his brother. And Rashi notes that there's a difference of opinion if these were real Malachim or just messengers. But assuming that they were real Malachim, why was he allowed to send them? Why is one allowed to utilize a miracle when a regular person would have been enough? So the late great Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that to the truly shalem person, Yaakov Avinu wasn't utilizing a miracle. You see, to Yaakov, it didn't matter if the messenger was a malach or he was a human. If he was bringing the word of Hashem, that was impressive in of itself. And one who needs to see a miracle in order to believe is really not as faithful beyond miracle. The fact of the matter is that one who needs to see the miracle doesn't really have the emunah. Yaakov Avinu was above that madrega. He was able to have the emunah no matter what. A similar argument is advanced by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his commentary in The Warmth and the Light on last week's Parsha. And a similar idea is advanced by the Mechta Melio in another context as well. Yaakov, of course, utters the famous phrase, Im Lavan Garti, that I lived with Laban. And Rashi famously quotes two ideas. On the one hand, Im Laban Garti, and I didn't become any sort of leader, V'lo Nasesi Sar V'Shofet. And then the other idea, that Yaakov Avinu lived with Laban, V'Tarig Mitzvah Shamarti, I kept the 613 mitzvahs. One approach is humbling. The other approach is competitive and challenging. How can they both reflect Yaakov Avinu's intent? The Klayaka suggests that Yaakov is telling Esav that you cannot assume that the brachos work magically, for you see that they didn't work magically. And so therefore Esav should also realize that no matter what, Yitzchak's bracha will fall on the head of whomever it was intended. And that's the first interpretation, that the two pieces come together. Rabbi Bernhard Weinberger, the author of the Shemen HaTov, adds that the message here is actually one of strength. Yaakov was telling Esav that the only one who knows he is undeserving, the only one who sees himself as undeserving of being a Sar V'Chashuv in this house, and still keeps the 613 mitzvos even in Lavan's house, only such a person will be successful in this world. So Yaakov Avinu was basically telling Esav, you may be coming with 400 men, but no, all that kavon ain't going to make you too successful. On the other side of it, Yaakov continues to bring gifts to Esav, and he keeps saying the phrase, Mincha hi shlucha ladoni le'esav, to my master Esav. And the Gemara in Sota, and Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, Mem Aleph Amid Beis, notes that the Chachamim were wrong for patting a rush on a back. The Gemara says that Chanifa l'Rishayim is a terrible thing, and when it came to Agrippas, it was the cause for a destruction against the Jewish people. And so Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechta used to tell us that Chanifa means when you praise the Rasha as a tzaddik, when the Rasha too knows that he's not such the tzaddik that you're painting him out to be. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein has a similar tshuva about honoring Mechalalei Shabbos at yeshiva dinners, that all of a sudden we're going to make him into the Gadol Ador. He's not exactly the greatest Gadol Ador, and it's just his money that has Gadlus. So the Gemara adds that in this world one can give Chanifa to a Rasha, because as Yaakov Avinu does here, it's a suffix sakanas nefashos. However, one should avoid it if it's not a suffix sakana. Then Yaakov fights the malach, and the malach tells him at the end of the whole storyline, Lo Yaakov ye'amero chimcha kiyim Yisrael. Your name shall no longer be known as Yaakov, you're going to be known as Yisrael. So what was the basis for the change in Yaakov Avinu's name? So Rabbi Dov Kanatopsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that the name Yaakov referred to one who avoided conflict. He was submissive. Be'ado ochezes ba'akev. Yisrael, on the other hand, reflects the idea that when necessary, Yaakov Avinu was able to contend and hold his own, not only with men, but with Malach as well. And Hashem, too, later repeats the name change. And Rav Asher Weiss Shalita explains, because the Malach can only comprehend the external attribute of leadership. What he didn't recognize was the fact that Hashem's name was added to Yaakov's, Yisrael, guaranteeing that the Jewish people would never, ever falter in the process. So Yaakov finally meets up with Esav, and Esav runs up to greet him, and he, and he hugs him, and he falls on his face, and he kissed him, and then all of a sudden, they cry together. Now why Esav cried is understood. But the Torah uses the plural Vayivku, which implies that both Yaakov and Esav cried, and it also seems to imply that they cried for the same reason. How's that supposed to make any sense? How could the two of them be crying for the same reason? So the late great Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that when Esav saw that nature had changed course and that he, who was supposed to evermore hate Yaakov Avinu, did not, he recognized how low he had sunk and how he really could have achieved what Yaakov did and would never achieve, and for this he cried. Yaakov, too, realizing that Esav had really given up, he cried as well for the loss of the opportunity for Avram Avinu's grandson and Yitzchak Avinu's son. After this episode, Yaakov Avinu comes to Sukkos, and he's right outside of Shechem. And the episode with Dinah happens. And then the boys come back, and they said that Nivala Naasali is the Yaakov, Lishkav Espas Yaakov, Vechein Lo Yeyasa. It's not only a disgusting thing, it should not be done. What is added by that phrase, Vechein Lo Yeyasa, and that it's not supposed to be done? So Shimshon David Pinkus at Zatzal explained that it's bad enough when something horrific happens. When it happens and it's extraordinary in the place that it happens, that's a doubly damning thing. When one slaps his chavrus in the Beis HaMedrash, where Pinkus says, it's a horrific thing, slapping another human being is bad. Not only is the slap an embarrassment, but the public shaming too needs to be contended with. The fact that you embarrassed somebody in public, that's also an issue. Here, the fact that Dina was taken and abused, and that the people said nothing despite this not being okay, was reason for the city too to be deserving of death. And sure enough, Shimon and Levi wipe them out. So after Shimon and Levi wipe them out, Yaakov Avinu brings them to task. And he says to them, Achar Temosi, you have embarrassed me. Now why does Yaakov care so much about his standing with the nations of the world? So the late Gaon Rav Hillel Lieberman, Hashem Yimkom Damav, God should remember him, explained that based on the Gemara in Shabbos on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, that notes that wherever Yaakov Avinu went, he contributed to the social welfare of the place. Rabbi Lieberman added that Rav Kook Zatzal notes that this is part of our job as being an Or LaGoyim. We are supposed to contribute to social welfare in general. Rabbi Lieberman explains that when Yaakov Avinu said Achar Temosi, it happens when the nations of the world think that B'nai Torah are not a beacon of light to the world. And Shimon and Levi's actions gave pause to the outsiders to think that B'nai Torah only think about themselves. B'nai Torah are not supposed to do that. The descendants of Yaakov Avinu are not supposed to do that. They're supposed to think about the world at large as they set a higher standard. Finally, this week's Haftorah comes from the book of Ovadia. In fact, it's the entirety of the book of Ovadia. And Ovadia makes a declaration. He says, Al tamo biyom achicha biyom, don't stand by your brother on the day that he's made strange. Don't biyom nachro. Don't be sameach when Yehuda is defeated. And the Al Shimoni notes that when Nebuchadnezzar went to battle on Yerushalayim, the children of Esav sat out on the roads to fence it and support the victor in persecuting the refugees. Whoever those refugees would be, if Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers would be retreating, then the children of Esav would come along and beat on them as they ran away. If Yerushalayim were to be captured, they would go out and attack the Jews. So Ibn Ezra notes that this prophecy spoke of the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. But the Abarbanel Dingsach, the Abarbanel argues that the entire Nevuah of Ovadia turns to a future-based focus and speaks to the religious challenges we still face from the descendants of Esav and Edom today. But in the end of the day, God promises, Ve'olu Moshe'im Ba'etzion Lishbot Esav Esav, V'haysala Hashem Amlucha, there will be a change, there will be a future, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that on that day His name will be Echad, Ushmo Echad. Best wishes for a Shabbat Shalom to all.